Over the last year, Hampshire College has faced financial uncertainty and abrupt leadership transitions. This week, the private liberal arts school in Amherst, Massachusetts, opened its doors to an incoming class of just 13 after its board voted to not accept a full roster of students in January. New college president Ed Wingenbach, who replaced Miriam Mim Nelson after her resignation in April, spoke to WAMC about what he told the college community at its first gathering of the school year, as well as his response to emails between the college and UMass about a possible merger that the Daily Hampshire Gazette reported on.
It was a mixture of students, faculty, and staff, so I invited everybody who was returning for the year to come back. And really, there were two aspects of the remarks. One was to recognize that last spring was a difficult year. Last spring was a difficult semester, but that we've reached some conclusions and learned some lessons from that. And the main conclusion from last spring is that the only way that Hampshire College can be a vibrant, experimenting college that does curriculum by approximation and invites students to guide their own programs, mentored by faculty, right? The only way we can be who we are is to be independent. And so we're committed to being independent. So that was one part of the message. Another part of the message was just to be clear about how much of a challenge it's going to be to pull that off. So, you know, we did a lot of work. People in our community did a lot of work last spring to give us the opportunity to save college, to save Hampshire College. And now we have to take that opportunity and make it real. And then the last theme of the remarks today was to talk about how we plan to engage our entire community internally and externally where we can in generating ideas and responding to concrete proposals for what the next iteration of Hampshire College will look like, because we have roughly 2 months to come up with a viable consensus-based approach that is exciting for students, exciting for donors, and is affordable within the expected levels of revenue within which we can operate.
What do you think the core of that plan needs to be to make it viable?
Well, I think there's two kinds of questions we have to ask. Question one is, how do we imagine a student-directed and mentored program that will allow us to fit within a budget that's smaller than what we've had in the past, right? So there's a fundamental practical problem there that, you know, and this goes back to the founding documents of Hampshire College, right? Hampshire was founded explicitly to help show other private colleges how you could engage, how you could achieve excellence without massive accumulations of wealth and supplements from endowments. And that's what we need to do. And over the last, several to many years, we've allowed the model that we've built to outstrip the resources we can bring in through tuition and predictable annual fund revenue. The fundamental question here is how do we think about the core of our model in ways that can be supported with less investment, because we have less money to invest. So that's one. The other is we need to make sure that the way that we think about a student-directed, problem-focused education is really accessible to the wide range of students who are interested and could be successful at the place that is Hampshire College. A place like Hampshire, but there is no other place like Hampshire. There's just Hampshire, and some of that has to do with, thinking about how we pose problems that students can work on. How quickly can they engage in authentic and meaningful opportunities to impact the world? How do we make sure that we give them the structure and guidance necessary to make sense of the responsibility that comes with the freedom of a Hampshire education? And then, within that, there's been a whole lot of conversation and visioning and strategic planning over the last several years that have produced no shortage of really good ideas. We are now at the point where, again, to quote the founding documents, where we have to make, you know, strong and sudden effort, right? We have to make some decisions, and we need to act. And that's what we're going to do this semester.
Recently, news broke that revealed more of the details between the communication between Hampshire and its then leadership and UMass that would have detailed a lot of the sort of concessions the college appeared to be ready to make about its independence, which you referred to, you know, earlier. I'm interested, can you sort of synopsize what those communications were all about and how you responded to them and shared that with the community?
Right. So I want to be careful about how you characterize that there. I don't think that those documents show concessions that the college was willing to make. There is an email from the former president early on saying that, you know, if we're not going to take a class in order to have a partnership with UMass, we need to know. But that was in an email that also said, we'd like a partnership with UMass to be one in which Hampshire College continues to deliver its style of education to its students, right? So it was pretty clear to me, I think, that offer was, if you will be a partner with Hampshire College, and you will help Hampshire College continue to be the independent, change-oriented place that it's always been, then we would consider things like not taking a class, right? What you see then in the rest of those documents, the internal conversations at UMass, is UMass responding to that request in ways that I think are entirely understandable given their own institutional imperatives. And the way they responded to it was essentially, no, we can't afford to take on Hampshire and commit to supporting their model of education. That's not in our best interest. And so if Hampshire wants to join us, they basically have to, you know, lay everybody off, shut down, and we'll take them over and kind of do what we want with them. And obviously, that was not what the board had asked the former president to explore when they asked her to look for partnerships, which is why none of that proposal was ever brought to the board for any kind of voter action. It wasn't what a partnership would be. It was clearly going to be an acquisition. Now, my communication with the campus and the broader community about that, I think, was twofold. One, it was to say, you know, there was new information here. We didn't know that UMass had said that an initial condition of any further discussions of a partnership was not taking a class. Right, so that was new information. And we also didn't know that any merger with UMass would have been an acquisition. Those were both new pieces of information. And it was important to understand in the context of the debates last spring about whether Hampshire needed a partner to survive, that part of what we learned from these documents is how unlikely it is that any institution would be willing to allow Hampshire to maintain its independence while sheltering it, right? And so we've got to move forward. We've got to go ahead and figure out a way to sustain ourselves on our own resources. And that's going to be a hard challenge, but it's one that we have to address.
Looking forward into this new semester of the school in its currently diminished form, what are the steps that have to happen immediately to get this whole process moving forward in that 2-month window?
Sure, and you know, we're not in a diminished form, right? I mean, we have fewer students than we've had in the past, and fewer faculty. Although the faculty to student ratio is not lower than it had been last year, so students that are here are not getting a diminished education. They have all the support and educational opportunities that they've had in the past. Some of them had to adjust their committees and things like that. But you know, we're not a diminished place. We're just on a smaller scale. And in the long run, we have to get back to higher enrollments, both because the need for vibrancy and diversity and energy on the campus, but also to support a wider range of faculty and mentors and staff. So we need to get back to that over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. What has to happen in the next 7 to 8 weeks is that we have an obligation to NAICHE, to our accreditors, to show them that we have identified a roadmap to fiscal sustainability that also allows us to pursue excellence within our distinctive mission. And that has to be a believable and viable plan. It can't be one that is simply based on, you know, wishful thinking. And so we need to work as a community, and we've set up structures where we're going to meet, you know, we're going to open meetings 3 times a week for faculty, staff, and students, and then try to digest those conversations into what will look like, into more concrete proposals that people can then react to. We will be sharing those conversations and those emerging proposals with our extended community and alums, who will be invited to be part of that group in this process. We'll have a couple of more intensive opportunities to work later in September as a broader community, and then we'll need to have a conversation when our board's on campus in October, the first week of October, to try to narrow down from what will at that point hopefully be a clearer set of ways forward, which ones we need to fully develop in early October. And then we're going to need to take some action on that and present it to NACHI. We also need to do that pretty quickly because regardless of whether we had to talk to our creditors, we have a lot of people who are interested in supporting Hampshire College with their own resources, most of whom have made it very clear that while they want to support us, they need to know that what they're supporting is something that is viable and compelling and exciting. And so we need to generate that for those reasons. And then we've got to tell students who are going to come in next year. We're recruiting a class for next year. We expect to be successful there. But we need to be able to tell them what version of Hampshire they're coming to join. So all of those things give real urgency to the idea of making a commitment to a future framework that we can make work. And then we have to start doing the work. Right? And there'll be a lot of opportunities for people to participate in community to participate in that effort.